Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids. First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. Next, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep. Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Workers at Illinois bars and restaurants are being hit especially hard by our local shelter in place. So 93XRT and local musicians are joining Sam Adams Brewery and their charitable fund, Restaurant Strong, to help. Sam Adams has already donated $100,000 to the fund in Illinois, and we're asking for your help to hit our goal of $500,000. All funds raised in Illinois go directly to restaurant industry workers in Illinois. To donate, visit RestaurantStrong.org and click on Illinois. 93XRT will match the first $2,000 you donate to Sam Adams Restaurant Strong Illinois. Join us every Saturday at 93xrt.com/live or Facebook Live for our virtual concert series And the Beat Goes On Chicago. This Saturday afternoon at 3, Chicago's own indie duo Ohm. We'll get through this. And with your help, reach our goal to raise $500,000 to help bar and restaurant workers in Illinois get through it too. And the Beat Goes On Chicago from Sam Adams and 93xrt.
A message from your locally owned AAMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care Center. AAMCO is open and ready to help solve your vehicle repair needs. They've made it easier than ever to complete all transactions and payments over the phone and offer curbside drop-off and vehicle pickup. Call 1-800-GO-AAMCO for details or search AAMCO for a location near you. That's AAMCO, AAMCO, Transmissions, and a whole lot more.
As Chicago works from home, The Score is there for you.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. The Score, I'm a loyal listener to these tough times. It's a relief to know I can turn you guys on my dial and have you be here.
We have The Score to get us through this. Thanks for being out there. You guys are a breath of fresh air. The whole Score team makes it a lot easier, so I applaud you for it.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, we are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. This hour is also being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Young Sean, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I'm so happy to have Evan Altman on the show today. How did the Wu-Tang Clan thing start with you?
It actually started just by happenstance. It was one of those deals, right, when you have the BMG Music 12 CDs for a penny or whatever that they then hose you with. Then you got to pay like $20 a pop for each of them that keeps sending you stuff you don't want. And I was just going through checking stuff off, right? I got the Chronic. I think I even got some, there was like some Megadeth. But Wu-Tang Clan was one of them that was in there. And at first, it kind of sat on the back burner. I had a buddy who saw that I had it. He was like, can I borrow that? I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. And then finally I got it back from him. And I was like, man, maybe there's something to this. And I started listening. And I don't know what it was. I think it was just because it was so raw and just so grimy. You're like, some dude in his basement put this together. Right? I mean, it's just like literally, RZA was hitting paint cans on top of a microphone to imitate a snare sound, you know, and the kung fu in the background. And I enjoyed the idea that I could play that in my car for other people, and they would all look at me like I was crazy. They just did not get it. Like, Tiger style. What is happening?
Make me a bicycle, clown!
What a great visit we had with Evan Altman yesterday. We also talked about baseball. It wasn't just Wu-Tang, but there was some baseball conversation that we had, and it was great. And good luck with Evan in this new venture that he's doing on YouTube. And yesterday he had Mike Bryant, Chris's dad, on his YouTube show. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We got a big show ahead of us. Will Gottlieb is going to join us to talk about the Bulls and the Last Dance. I'm going to spend some time sharing some interviews that I've done with people about Jordan, and we'll go down memory lane on that. Charles Davis, we haven't talked with CD in a while. I'm looking forward to talking with him about the NFL draft and maybe get some help for the Bears, see what he thinks of the Nick Foles move. So all of that stuff is coming up on the show. The show is being helmed today by the Phenom. Sean Anderson is in charge of the show. Herbie has the day off, well-deserved day off for him. Jordan Malley is helping out. So we got a young crew back at the ranch holding down the show, and I'm glad that they're here. There's going to be a lot of fun on the show. There's going to be a lot of history on the show. I promise you that. The first segment is not going to be either of those things. It's going to be fairly serious as I talk about something that, honestly, if true, completely disgusts me, and I feel there need to be drastic steps taken at my alma mater to try and figure out exactly what happened. The story crossed yesterday that there was a lawsuit accusing Eugene Linty, who was the softball coach at DePaul University for over 30 years, of physical and verbal abuse. The lawsuit was brought about by someone who worked with the university for 13 years as a counselor, and that counselor was let go. That's a wrongful termination, was let go after bringing up to the Title IX office that there were allegations of this. Then what happens is that if a student tells one of us that there has been abuse, we are bound to then take those allegations up the chain. I am, even as an adjunct, and let me just say that, full disclosure, I have worked through the score with DePaul University as a broadcaster. I'm literally teaching this quarter. I have acted as an adjunct professor at DePaul since 2012. So I want you to understand that before I go any further so that you can figure out whether or not my judgment on this is clouded in any way. So I wanted to give you that full disclosure. But we are bound to then report if there are issues of abuse, if there are students who are endangered, if there are students who have had witness violence, and so on and so forth. So that's what this lawsuit accuses. And let me, before I get too far down the road, I'm really proud to be a part of the DePaul Communication Department. I'm really happy that I've been there for the last 8 years. And our students have done an incredible job covering this story, along with other stories that have to do with the athletic department at DePaul. Shane Renee, Lawrence Kramer, Ella Lee, they did a great job doing the original story on this. And then when you start to get to the stories about Title IX for the DePaulia newspaper themselves, seeing Ella Lee continue that and Emma Oxnevad continue to press and ask hard questions about what happened. In a nutshell, Eugene Linty was a softball coach for over 30 years. Extremely successful as a softball coach. A student saw him punch an assistant coach in the face, female assistant coach in the face. And according to this lawsuit, spoke to someone in the counseling department about that. And then the counselor who is bringing the lawsuit says that they had to then report it if the student did not report it. Eugene Linty retired at the end of the 2018 season, and it was a very quiet retirement. I remember talking to people around DePaul going, wow, that's weird that there wasn't like a big send-off for Eugene Linty because he had had so much success. I was wondering if it was something medical, if that's why it was a quiet retirement and he had walked away from coaching at DePaul. A year later, he pops up at Auburn as an assistant coach. And this is while all this stuff is going on, according to the lawsuit and the reporting that's been done on it by the DePaulia, by Associated Press, and by TMZ. My alma mater was on TMZ for bad acts. And the question that one then has to ask is, if there were allegations against Eugene Linty, what role did the athletic director, his sister, Jean Linty Ponsetto, have in investigating those allegations? Because I would tell you that she should have no role in investigating allegations against her brother. DePaul, for a very long time, has been run like a mom and pop shop. And to some people, that is a quaint thing to have it be that way. But in situations like this, this is where you don't get the benefit of the doubt that you can be trusted to make the right decision. Because clearly, you have some ties to this that wouldn't allow you to look and judge this from a perspective that you would want. Here's what I'm asking for. The lawsuit itself is really heinous. It's heinous. And if even a smidgen of what is in the lawsuit is true, I read it this morning, then everyone should be fired. Everyone involved should be fired. I'm willing to hear what the athletic department has to say, but when Jean Linty Ponsetto got contacted by the DePaulia, she basically laid out her resume instead of speaking to the allegations that are in front of the university and the athletic department. As I said, I am a proud alum of this university. I love working there as an adjunct professor. Gabriel Esteban is the president of DePaul University. I am calling on him to relieve Jean Linty Ponsetto of her duties and then have an investigation to figure out whether or not she should be terminated. Because they cannot do an internal investigation of this. It has to be external. There are too many people inside the athletic department that are connected or related for an internal investigation to do anything but make us all go, what? It is up to the university to be completely transparent in this regard and do some things that they might not want to do. And yes, universities right now, and mine in particular, we are all working our tails off to try and make sure that the educational process can go as smoothly as possible right now. But you cannot have something like this. Looking at the lawsuit itself, and if you go to DePaulia online, if you go to the student newspapers online, they have the lawsuit. I read it this morning. This is a credible accuser. And one of the things that they are accusing is that they were terminated because they brought multiple questionable actions by Eugene Linty to light, and there was nothing done. And the end result was that person being fired and then discredited on their way out of the university. What bothers me as an educator is that in the lawsuit, it is alleged that the student who went to this person confidentially ended up getting their name put out there. And so when Linty retired, other players on the team blamed this person. That breaks my heart. That there was someone who was so disturbed, and I'm sure was worried about saying something, didn't have the protection of the university to keep them anonymous, and then had to deal with the ramifications of that. Like, it absolutely break. Like, imagine if that's your daughter. It's heartbreaking. I'm shocked and dismayed and disgusted that action hasn't already been taken. And to me, it makes no sense for Jeannie to be in charge of the athletic department right now, pending an investigation. If your investigation finds that there was nothing wrong with the way that it acted or the way that the athletic department is structured and how there are too many people that are connected with the athletic department kind of running in and out of the Title IX department, which should be above reproach and there shouldn't be any connections in there, there should be action. And there should be action because not only if what is in the lawsuit is true, not only were DePaul students and staff in danger, but according to the lawsuit, DePaul never even told Auburn that there were accusations about this coach. So you've now put students and staff at Auburn in danger by doing it. If what this lawsuit alleges is true, it is an ugly stain on the athletic department and by proxy the university. And I'm dismayed that there has not already been action. And I will tell you that, to me, this doesn't have to do with wins and losses. I know that there are people that would love to see Gene Linty Ponsetto fired because the men's basketball team hasn't done well. I don't care about that. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I'm talking about this is the worst type of cronyism and nepotism imaginable, if it's true. This is endangering students and staff, if it's true. And it cannot be allowed to continue without a clear external investigation of what went on. It just... Look, I think that stuff like this happens in a lot of different places. I'm not naive to that. I'm not naive to the issues that DePaul as an athletic department has overall. I've seen it firsthand with my dealings with the athletic department, with my students' dealings with the athletic department. But if any of this in the lawsuit is true, it flies in the face of what we literally preach at DePaul as a Catholic Vincentian university. So, I just wanted to let you know where I stood on this. I know that people ask me about DePaul and everything. I don't understand why leadership in the athletic department is being allowed to lead right now. The best solution until an investigation is done is for Jeannie Linty Ponsetto to either recuse herself and take a leave of absence, or for the university to force her to take a leave of absence until the investigation is done. But if this turns out to be true, any and everybody who was involved with it should be let go immediately. I've had my say. That's where I stand. I'm going to do more digging on this because I've been talking over the last 24 hours to athletes.